scholar. Great scholar. I am starting from the three old histories. Adivarthi, Kadyarik and Adivaidik. Even the whole town calls me Pandit, but I do not know who am I. Kiyami, I don't know. Why would I suffer? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very Chaitanya Charitamrita. Quite early only, within 2-3 shlokas, he brings this concept that Jivarasvarupa Hoy Nitya Krishnadas. That we are all the servants of Krishna. And then from there he talks the whole Siddhanta, you know, Krishna philosophy. And similarly, you know, since I am reading Ramayana, just to go through this, Hanumanji, when he came to us, so he sent him to go and ask them, who are they? They look like Kshatriyas, maybe they are friends of Wali. So Hanumanji came down, Hanumanji asked them, who are you? Where you come from? What's your identity? Why you come here? Then Lakshman was told by Ram that you introduce our identity. Lakshman spoke about Dasarath Maharaj, he spoke about Ram, the greatness of Ram. And then he introduced himself. He said, actually, it's the greatness of my brother. It's the greatness of Lord Ram. He identifies me as his brother. But actually, my honor is that I'm his servant. That's his greatness that he calls me as his brother. But my identity is Lord Ram's servant. So this clicked into the heart of Hanumanji. And Hanumanji also identified himself when he was destroying Lanka. We can imagine, you know, when you have a number of success, one after another, in a very fast race, nobody could do it. He was chosen to jump over the ocean. Before that, his group was given that ring that Hanumanji was given. Nobody could do Hanumanji. He jumped across. He found Mother Sita. Then he conveyed the message of Lord Ram to Ravan in his own words. And he had already destroyed the Ashoka Vatika. And now when he was going back, after his seal was burned, he was about to burn the whole Lanka. After all that success, there is a natural tendency. Our Bhakti Vijayan Maharaj was mentioning, psychiatrists, they say, when there is a success causes pride. There is guarantee. When there is a success, for a conditioned soul, he has to be proud. He cannot avoid the principle of pride. And failure leads to envy and disappointment and depression. So we have the risk of being successful and being proud, and we have the risk of being failure and being depressed and envious. One cannot avoid that. That's how the human tendencies are there in the conditioned world. But you are in such a great success. Hanumanji, while he was burning the whole Lanka, he kept on saying that Dasoham Koshalendrasya. Who am I? I am the servant of Lord Ram. I am the servant of the Lord Ram. I am the servant of Lord Ram. He never gave up that understanding. So this constitutional connection to the Lord, that is our recognition. That is one thing. We understand we are servants of Krishna. But in this world we are living with our background, our karma, our karmic reaction. So the identification that I am Krishna's servant should also be connected with my present situation. Therefore, Varnashram system is very scientific. When we try to abolish this system, then what does it do? It puts us in a wrong situation. Like therefore, one time Prabhupada said, somebody called Prabhupada a devotee. Devotee is a bad status of calling oneself a devotee. It's a very big thing. To call oneself as a devotee is a very, very big thing. It's not very easy to achieve. Yes, sometimes we say to some newspaper reporters, how many devotees are there? He asked some of the devotees, how many devotees are there in our ISKCON? 350. Yes, there are 350 devotees. Another time he said, there are no devotees except me. Nobody else is a devotee. was making it very clear for us to understand that what is our identity. So there is an aspiring identity which we are trying to aspire to become a devotee of Krishna, to gain back our constitutional identity as servants of Krishna. But by living in this material world, we have a certain background. Someone who is a great singer, Devkinandan Prabhu has got a beautiful voice, you know, like a golden voice. So by hearing that voice, whenever you see something very wonderful in this world, we appreciate that, but along with that appreciation comes desire to possess that. I also want it. Prabhupada writes in the Gopinathasamrita Sindhu that Nanda Maharaj is the father of Krishna. So he is, oh, he has such a great position of being the father of Krishna. There may be a tendency of, oh, I want to be father of Krishna. That's my own philosophy. My own philosophy is not only becoming God. My own philosophy also is trying to aspire for something where we have no facility. Our philosophy is that we follow the process. We cannot become Nanda Maharaj, but we can actually become one of his servants, the servants of the servants of the servant. So therefore, one has to understand, okay, what is my identity? Being a Brahmana in Varnashram is the highest. Being a Shudra is the fourth level. But even a Shudra can achieve perfection. A Brahmana can achieve perfection. But to say, oh, I want to be a Brahmana artificially, it is not possible. Vishwamitra Muni tried so hard to acquire the position of a Brahmana, causing so much of harm and violence toward Vasishtha Maharshi, and then performed so much of tapasya. But he could never become a Brahmana by his own strength. Only when Vasishtha accepted, okay, accept you as a Brahmana, then he became a Brahmana. So therefore, one has to also understand where to stand conditionally. What is my situation? So if that understanding is not there, then there is a bewilderment of identity. And the circumstantial situation, certain circumstances make us act differently. Like Mother Sita, out of circumstance, she doubted Lakshmana. How can you doubt like that? Lakshmana's character, she had watching him all the time, how much dedication he had. When Ram went to the forest to look for the golden deer, and the golden deer was shot by Ram, and the golden deer loudly called the names of Lakshmana and Sita. Sita, because of her unlimited affection for the Lord, and Lakshmana's complete confidence in the identity of Ram, this conflict of affection without knowledge, affection with knowledge, let her to believe that Lakshmana is there for wrong purpose. So the circumstantial situation made her to feel that, oh, Lakshmana is coming here with the wrong intention. So certain situations make us to act in a certain way when we don't act according to our conditional nature. For example, we see Aliya on Ramachari. He was living in a very nice place. His father was the director of the railways, of the entire railway board. And then naturally, when you are growing in India especially, there is the mob psychology. Not the individual psychology. The whole mob. Science, engineering, medical. Right. So the parents will force the child, the mother will force, the neighbors will force. So naturally, because he had to accept that psychology, that mob effect, he also took to science. But that is a circumstantial influence, therefore it led him to take science. But he realized 11th and 12th, it was so miserable for him doing science. He could have had a psychological breakdown, depression. But instantly realized, no, actually it is not my nature, it is not my tendency to pursue science. And he told his father, look, he said, I can't do it, but I can do something else. And fortunately enough, his father was kind enough to agree to the proposal of his son. Many times spirit stone. He said, no, this is what you have to do. That is again Varnashrama Dharma. But here the father acted, the son was honest enough to realize that it's not my nature, but I am influenced by the circumstance. So he pulled out from science, went to arts. In India, taking arts means you are good for nothing. Even a taxi driver will do arts. What is this arts? But he took arts. We can imagine taking arts. He took arts. And then he became very excellent in arts. He scored highest marks. Actually, this is a record in Bombay University. He got a gold medal in arts. And he did his MBA. He got a very great job also. Of course, eventually he met devotees and he dedicated his life. And he's a great writer also. So one has to understand all these three principles. Constitutional, conditional, and circumstantial. And that leads to the next stage of repentance. Why? Because we understand our constitutional nature, we understand our present situation, that big gap between my present situation and my situation of being Krishna's servant. Then what does it do? It leads us to feel home. You know, what a gap that leads to repentance. Pashchatta, prayaschitta. The word of prayaschitta, chitta means consciousness or heart. Praya means the origin. Prayaschitta, what does it do? It brings us back to the desire to achieve the original consciousness. Prayaschitta. Otherwise, we are shameless. When someone makes a mistake, the guilt is there. Whenever he does that same mistake again, slowly that guilt consciousness is destroyed. And one becomes shameless. So for some time the police in Bombay have this concept, when they catch someone, a pickpocketer, they don't beat them immediately. Because once you beat them, they feel, okay, this is what happens to me, I get beating. It doesn't matter, once they beat me, they release me. So I go back and steal. So that fear, which they are expecting what the police will do, is lost once they are beaten. And we have seen in our temple, we had one, you know, Kshatriya devotee, he caught a pickpocketer, a person who steals the shoe, and he was throwing him, lifting him up and dropping him down. Most devotees ran away from there, they couldn't handle it, because he was a soft heart, but he couldn't take it, that this guy steals, and there was no repentance. He did not cry also. He did not cry. He was begging to release him, but there were not tears in his eyes. There was no fear in his eyes. Absolutely no. Because that guilt is not there, one becomes shameless. Why? Because he has forgotten his identity. Only when that identity is revealed, the repentance comes, then the living entity desires to live a life of rectification. Repair work starts. And if you don't know that you have to repair, just like in here, every building is so nicely made. In India, there will be 1,000 maps on the buildings, right? Nobody feels. Sometimes you feel they may be designed nicely. Why? Because there is no facility for understanding this is the top quality, but this is the quality you live, so there is no feeling. I remember when I used to travel in book distribution party all over Maharashtra. One of our friends' boss was the director of the health services. You know, Dr. Chalukya, very nice person. So he gave us a letter. He said, we go to all the civil hospitals, district hospitals, meet all the doctors, meet the nurses, meet all the people, meet the patients, and talk about the books. It was very easy. You could go, show the letter of director, and then just announce, we are here to distribute top books during the December marathon. And out of 40 people, at least 30 would buy Bhagavad Gita. That's real. Why? Because they wanted to have good name in their director's account. Okay, in this department, out of 40, 30 people have purchased Bhagavad Gita. But in the health department, you can imagine all the cupboards. In the corner of the cupboards, it will be filled with a red spot. Why? Because they would eat tobacco and spit in the corner. Health department. And nobody considered it's unhygienic, it's not good. Why? Because the what is the actual ideal standard. So you don't have ideal standard, whatever standard you practice, you live with it. There is no disturbance. So when actually Krishna consciousness needs to very subtly bring people to the level of feeling that I want to call you sinful, rascal, stupid, no. You don't say. The philosophy is such, when you realize, my God, that this is what I am leading. This is the kind of life I am leading. So the repentance comes, and the repentance leads to rectification. A rectification is what actively trying to change oneself. That is active repentance. Passive rectification is what actually feeling the bad when I have done wrong. When that rectification is the process of Krishna consciousness. Satsuru Maharaj writes in one of his books, in the Christianity there is repentance. Go and cry, go and cry, go and cry. Jesus, I'm a sinner. Then what? Are you doing anything about it? Have you taken any process to rectify your feelings? It is not that, you know, we have given contract to Lord Chaitanya. They give contract to Krishna. Krishna, I repent and you do all the hard work to save me. Now the living entity also has to endeavor. So that active rectification is the aggression. It's aggressive repentance. When these three aspects are done, the fourth thing. What is that? Reunion. Yoga. When the living entity is united with Krishna, then that pleasure is there. The experience of practicing the spiritual service. So these four things. You know, recognize, repent, rectify, and then the reunion is there. So therefore the whole process of Bhakti Yoga, chanting Hare Krishna, is not only in the process of rectification, the process of Krishna consciousness is not different from reunion. That's the beauty of it. Sometimes the sadhya and sadhana are different. Just like when we had to come here, we had to have a long drive, 25 minutes extra drive. First time it happened, that's what they're gonna have to do. So the driving is not achieving. No, the driving is frustrating. After you travel 20 minutes, again 20 minutes, again 20 minutes. Because in traveling, you don't achieve the destination. Unless you come to the destination, you don't feel that satisfaction. But in Krishna consciousness, it is not like that. The destination and the travel, they are not different. That is the beauty. Therefore, Rupa Goswami explains that even desiring that I want to go to Mathura is as good as being in Mathura. Because you get the benefit of being in Mathura. You be in Mathura or you desire to be in Mathura, they want to understand. Therefore, Adhivitacharya told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that since you are not in Vrindavan, according to you are in somewhere else, you are stripped by Nityananda Prabhu to come to Shantipur. And Lord Chaitanya said, what is this? Adhivitacharya, what are you doing here? I was thinking that I am in Vrindavan. Adhivitacharya said, no, you are in Vrindavan because your mind is in Vrindavan. You are desiring to be in Vrindavan, you are aspiring to be in Vrindavan. So therefore, it is non-different. So, when you practice Krishna consciousness, one doesn't need to feel, oh, when will I achieve? Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Usaha, Nishtaya, Dhirya. Why? Dhirya than Nishtaya and Usaha. Enthusiasm without patience is passion. No, it's a false ego. Enthusiasm is there, but the patience is not there. I am going to achieve by my power the destination. And patience without enthusiasm is laziness, mode of ignorance. So there has to be combination. There has to be utsaha, there has to be patience. Patience, you know, utsaha is my endeavor, patience is waiting for Krishna's grace. So patience is waiting for Krishna's grace, but at the same time, if I don't have the enthusiasm to receive Krishna's grace, then I don't show that desperation. So this combination of utsaha, nishchaya, dhairya makes our practice of devotional service as blissful as between the results of our practice. They're not different. The Prophet told a famous statement, what do you want to achieve by chanting Hare Krishna? Chanting more Hare Krishna. Chanting more Hare Krishna at our stage is very difficult. Ramakrishna Maharaj said one time he chanted 300,000 names. I think it was in Singapore only. He tried to chant. Singapore or Hong Kong, I don't remember. He was giving a lecture in Mayapur. He said, I realized. He said, I was chanting 300,000 names trying to follow the footsteps of Haridas Thakur. But every round was like climbing a mountain. He said, I was not thinking of Krishna, I was only thinking of rounds. Same thing happened with her. When we chant 16 rounds, what is our focus? Chant ho gaya. Krishna is not there. The number is there. You are a pure devotee, he may not count, but Krishna is there all the time. But even that counting at our stage shows that we are being responsible. It may not be the highest feelings, but still that is very responsible. Some devotees, I know this is so mala bachava. They keep track of not chanting the 16 rounds every day, and some of the rounds goes to 600. But they are at least keeping a track. Very diseased condition, but at least they know, oh my god, I have to chant 640 rounds. So in this way, you know, once we chant and aspire for the destination, the journey should also be as inspiring as achieving the destination. Then it becomes quite easy. Therefore, I remember one devotee was saying, Krishna has not come in our life to cause burden. He has come to remove the burden. There are four little principles, four burdens. Chanting 16 rounds, another burden. Deity worship, another burden. No, he has not come. The Lord is not there in our life to cause burden. Rather, he has come to remove the burden. When you understand the positive aspect of Vaishnava philosophy, the Vaishnava philosophy is to do more by doing something rather than not doing. Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. Sometimes smartha pujaris, we see, you know, wherever you have to put your finger, they say, don't touch here, hey, don't touch there. So what do? They cause a lot of discouragement. But Krishna consciousness rules are there not to scare us, but the rules are there to love Krishna. Once we understand this aspect, that Krishna does not come to our life to cause burden. In Vishnu Sahasranam, that verse is there which talks about Krishna closes his eyes and he keeps his eyes open. Most of the time his eyes are unimission. His eyes are not closed. When does he close his eyes? He closes his eyes when his devotees are making mistakes. He doesn't want to see. I don't want to see my devotees make mistakes. But when he sees his devotees are doing something good, he does his eyes like Jagannath's eyes. With his eyes, even a small good thing, he sees through a magnifying glass. So when we have this understanding of Krishna, then we become extra responsible. Because the Lord is doing so much, how much more I should do? This feeling in the heart of a devotee, seeing the kind-heartedness of the Lord, is what Vaishnava is doing. Otherwise, okay, Krishna is kind, so I can do anything and everything. That does not show that we love Krishna. We try to get tax evaders. I got this loophole, I got that loophole to avoid hell, I got this loophole to avoid punishment from Krishna. That does not show any love on our part. Love means reciprocal. When we reciprocate with Krishna in this way, he is willing to do so much for me, but I am not doing anything. Let me do something for Krishna. In this way, our devotional service enhances. And we make good progress in devotional life. Hare Krishna. Any questions, comments?
understanding of the resolution, and we know the path that we have. But now when it comes to Krishna consciousness, we assume that the travel and the destination are relatively same. So the question is like, now when we are undergoing this process of devotional service, we are traveling to that destination. But if we don't know how much to travel and how much, what is the scope of the destination and what actual destination is, then do we really experience the results and benefits of the destination?
But unless we take it for granted, Krishna's mercy, then we are like, you know, we are like Krishna's or Hindus. So I go once in a while, every 2 years there is Kumbh Mela, every 6 years there is a Kumbh Mela. At least once in 4 places, that means every 2-3 years. Kumbh in Haridwar is once in 6 and once in 12 years. Prayag is 12 years, Nasik is 12 years, Ujjain is 12 years. So then at least 3-4 years, once in 3-4 years you have Kumbh Mela. So one day, why put all the sinful activities? Go to Ganga, every day she is available. Why put your sinful activities? Go to Jamuna, why put your sinful activities? All the holy places in India have the potential to at least remove all your sins. Wherever you go, and there are hundreds of such holy places in every person's next door, neighbor, next city, the holy places. So therefore, the facility for wiping out our sinful activities are limitless. So when we take from that point of view, no, after all, it's available, why should I endeavor extra? Like somebody asked about proper stocking, even if you chant one holy name of the Lord, you'll achieve purpose. If one is disciplined, why should I chant this one? That is materialistic. If by chanting one holy name, if I can achieve perfection, what if I chant more? It's like a banker, investor. If you understand that the company, by paying 1 rupee, you get $1 billion. What will you do? You will invest $1 million. You will sell your house. You will sell everything what you have. You will withdraw all the fees what you paid for the college. All the money, taking all the risk you will invest. Not only $1. Why? Because you know $1 can be $1 billion. Why not invest everything? So why only with Krishna like that? If I know by one holy name I can get so much, why not more? That is the consciousness of the devotee. Materialistic consciousness is what? One, with bhakti, is okay. Try to do as less as possible to God and gain as much as more. The thing is not also like a, you know, a business deal. Kam se kam do, aur jyada se jyada lo. So therefore, such person will never experience how much he has traveled and how much he has to travel, because he is not traveling only, he is off, he is in the valley already. One is actually traveling, Krishna gives him both the visions. He gets encouragement by saying how much I have traveled. Wow, I have traveled quite good amount. And then watching ahead, he gets a determination, I need to travel so much more. He has the vision of the travel what he has done, and he has the vision of how much he has to do. Therefore, both ways, he is not falsely confident. That's naturally happens for a practicing devotee. One is sincere and struggling actual path. And because of this confidence and determination, you are actually experiencing the destination, the experience of the destination. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was coming to Vrindavan, it begins with perfection. He was already perfectly enjoying. The perfect enjoyment was becoming more and more limitless. Let me say, one holy name of Lord Krishna is equal to 3 holy names of Lord Ram. And 3 holy names of Lord Ram is equal to 1,000 holy names of Lord Vishnu. So where does it begin? It begins with limitless. It begins with limitlessness. Because holy name we cannot measure. Vishnu is one holy name. this much limit, but it's limitless. So from there it begins. So therefore your journey and your destination as a sincere practitioner will have the same experience. It is only Anubhava Shastra. One has to, when you follow that path, when you don't follow that path, you don't follow that path. So many obstacles to execute emotional service, the way you want to execute. Why? Because the body is the biggest obstacle. And Krishna understands that. Again, if you're in the 7th chapter, the 11th chapter, Vishnu Bhagavatam, Krishna talks about the process of yoga. And he already assumes that a devotee who is practicing yoga, he will have certain failures in it. And then he gives solution for that also. Lord is giving the teaching, but is expecting that while practicing this teaching, you may have some difficulty. And they don't worry about the difficulty. It's a continuing the process. Frustration for practicing the yogi is to not experience what is assumed to experience. When it does not experience this, okay, I don't want to practice now. No. However, we don't care for the feeling, we care for the process. We care for the process. And process will give you that experience. So therefore, you know, the basic concepts are that how to chant Hare Krishna, best is to chant in the morning time, best is to chant while sitting, best is to chant while pronouncing it properly, you know, and then focusing on the name, chanting it properly. When you do that, all this physical process, that is yoga, that is discipline. And the guarantee is that, okay, this will give you the experience. Now you don't have to worry when somebody has problem. When I chant, when I meditate, I see blue light. So opposite chant Hare Krishna will disappear. Similarly. First of all, it will wipe out all the bad things. The six characteristics of bhakti is there. First is that klesha name. All the klesha means all the anarthas. The cross anarthas are destroyed. A tendency when we come from a background. You know, so whatever, even a pious or impious person comes from a background where he has habits, bad habits, gross bad habits. Those bad habits are destroyed. Then the subtle bad habits are destroyed. the most secret bad habits are destroyed. And then all the bad habits are destroyed, Shubhada. And then you feel auspiciousness. Wow. I no more do this. And that's what I can feel. Freedom from anxiety. Then the higher levels of realization. So this is first, we have to remove all the dirt. When the room is clean, then you can drink water place in the room. The room is filled with heaps of garbage. Then how can you place anything? When you're cleaning the room naturally, all the dust is rising, it is filling into your nostrils, going into your throat, going into your eyes. So it causes disturbance. But you know that unless I remove all this dirt, I cannot drink something positive. So therefore, chanting Hare Krishna follows the discipline which has been prescribed by the devotees and the Shastra. Then the experience is Krishna's lookout to give that experience. The tears rolling from our eyes, tears standing on our body. All these things, the ecstatic symptoms, those feelings, we don't have to worry about them. They will come, not by our endeavor, they will come by as a gift of Krishna. Krishna gives them. But he expects, okay, this much you want. Just like if you are driving, you could reach destination if you know the path. The path, GPS system is there, you know, all roads are there, all the landmarks are there. You have to drive according to what they are asking you to drive. You say, okay, I want to drive in the hill with your good car. Then where will you reach? Not in general. So therefore, bhakti, in any yoga process, it begins with physical things, which we could do. Just like somebody in Bombay, at least 5 lakh children during the summer vacation try to become Sachin Tendulkar, bringing so much of money. They will not become Sachin Tendulkar, at least they can imitate his style by practice, proper practice, how to hit the ball, and how to hold the bat. They can all learn the style. So, but here, the same principle is applied. One musician, he's a great musician. He said, you may not have a good voice, but I can train you to sing properly. So even if you don't have a good voice, by singing according to the musical science, people will appreciate your voice. It's a physical thing. You know, one may not become a musician like, you know, someone who's a great singer. But if you learn the science, your singing will be appreciated, even though you may not have a good voice. That's what he says. Art also says it. Not become Michelangelo. But if you train properly, at least you will learn how to draw a proper line. The line will not go from this corner to that corner. That's also an art, to draw a proper straight line, to make a proper circle also. Very difficult to draw. So, by training, you will. Therefore, all begins with the physical thing. And physical thing leads to subtle and subtle leads to the highest experience. And that is the gift of Krishna. You can read the book of Mahadevi Maharaj, Sachinanda Maharaj, about the art of chanting. You get to know how exactly to hear from the devotees. Challenge posed to devotees, the Prabhupada wanted. It is natural. If you see our interaction with Krishna and Krishna's process is much less than our interaction with matter and material world. Materialistic world is competitive. Being envious is considered as good quality. Being competitive is considered as good quality. You can cut somebody's throat and suck as much blood as possible. Be successful in cheating. When we are surrounded by such surrounding, and then we have good intention how to practice devotional to life. But the facility for practicing, the time which we spend with Krishna, should be less than what we spend in outside world. So this is the foundational problem in the Varnashram system. The Varnashram system was there, which is your mundane world. How to live in the mundane world? But the Varnashram system is so scientific in that you are living in the mundane world was very much, you know, positively helpful for your ultimate life also. So now the present world is, we are discussing today, city life is so conflicting with your ideals. Very conflicting, because if you want to live here, there is no Varnashram. Varnashram means cooperative life. Materialistic good of life is competitive life. Wherever there is a competition, there is a fear. There is a threat for survival. In Varnashram system, there is no threat for survival. The Brahmana is not threatened. My God, I am threatened by Kshatriya. A Kshatriya is not threatened by another Brahmana. A Vaishya is not threatened by anybody. Competition, no. The whole system of Vaishya Vritti is that, you know, in the village also, agricultural aspect, if you read our some expert organic farmers, it was not okay, tomato is in great demand, so all farmers grow tomato. Garlic is in great demand, everybody grows garlic, like in Maharashtra we see. Sugar cane, they destroyed all the land. Why? Because there is great demand for sugar cane, so everybody grows sugar cane. Not like that. The village will decide, okay, you grow this. So therefore, there was no unwanted demand for one particular item. Prabhupada explained in one place, he said the British are the one who started the, he said that's the country, the shopkeeper's country. He said in village, if you want a Caesar, you go to the blacksmith and tell, I want a Caesar. And he will take 3 days to make. They would want there are 1,000 varieties of Caesar. They already made, even if there is no demand, they create demand by making varieties of it. I remember one time we were in New York and one of our devotees wanted to buy a sleeper. And how long it takes to buy a sleeper? He should buy 2 minutes. And he was a Brahmachari. He got confused. 15 minutes he was. What should I do? Should I buy this one? Should I buy that one? So you are not. Basically, the simple living individuals are not responsible for this bombardment. The media, the big capitalists, they have caused such conflict in us. And the conditions for the Rasta Shakti are naturally in place by it. So what does Lord Chaitanya say? What does Prabhupada say? He says, don't worry. Don't worry. Try as much as possible. Slowly, increase. You know, increase your desire to perform more and more devotional service. Therefore, the whole concept of Bhagavatam comes. What does Bhagavatam do? Bhagavatam is the power to dominate your consciousness. Allow Bhagavatam to dominate your consciousness. Then slowly, what does it do? It helps you minimize. Like Socrates, standing outside a shop. You know, big shop. And his friend was shocked. He said, what is this, Socrates? You are standing, you change your mind, you want to buy something. He said, no, I don't want to buy anything. I'm just looking at people, watching them, what they are buying. He said, they are buying so many things, but what they don't need to buy. He said, most of these items are not supposed to be purchased. You keep collecting. So naturally, we are living in such a world. The Prabhupada wanted simple living, I think. So one may say, okay, how can I live in the farm now? I'm living in Singapore. How can I go back to farm? There is no farm only here. So it will be impractical, and most of us, we have no experience of living in the village. We have no experience of living in the village. So within our surrounding, try to make your life as simple as possible. You are living in a big city, no problem. Even in that situation also, like what devotee was telling me in New York, there is a man, he is become very famous now. No, he says less. He has a concept. Once a year, for a few days, in Manhattan, he lives in Manhattan. For 40 days, he does not use electricity, he does not use lift, he does not use any vehicle. Under what? In New York, that in Manhattan, he climbs to a story. He has got one kid and a wife. No, he says, no, he won't use electricity for next. And by I am doing it for a few years. He had objections from his family only. But he stuck to that principle of doing some kind of, you know, commitment in his life. Now there are thousands of people are trying to follow him. Okay, I want to do four or I want to do 4 crores. Like you must have heard our Madan Gopal who gave a lecture on cow protection and using the blessings of cows, not cows products. Cow is not a machine. Anything, cow dung, cow urine, cow milk is a blessing. It is not product. Cow product is a mundane word. He said it's a blessing. So he presented so systematically. So many devotees decided, wow, it makes sense. I know small children, those who are from our school, after that seminar, I talked at least about 10 children who are 6 years old. You know, they are like coming from a very rich, sophisticated family, children of doctors, engineers. They are using health mandir. How so? No nail bed. Small children, girls. They said, nobody told them. One girl, it's quite amazing story. You know, somebody gave, and devotees give other devotees what kind of gift, this kind of gift only. They should give them something that depends on of Krishna. So they gave some cosmetic items. And this girl, you know, she's a 6-year-old girl, and there was a lipstick. And she took that and put a little bit, and then she started crying. She went to the bathroom, she wiped out her lips. And why are you crying? She said, how can I do like this? How can I do like this? What will the devotees say? Nobody told her not to put. But it depended on the skin. They said, I will not put. She wiped out it. And she was going for a birthday party. She removed it. So now she is living in a city. She has not seen a farm. But then, in her situation, she is able to follow a simple life. So that kind of commitment the small children have. So many kids. Older people, I can't use, you know, Dattamanjali is so harsh. They are spoiled people. So the children are the best. Like the American company, only they give small children their brand of cigarette. They know they are hooked. And so many kids, they love cow products. Sorry, cow blessings. So in this delicate condition, slowly, slowly. And then seeing these children, many of the Brahmacharis are feeling, wow, you know, we have to change them. Let us stop using items which are not, you know, helping us to live much simpler. So therefore, you have to know what is my lifestyle and how much simpler I can make it. There is no uniform philosophy. Okay, from today onwards, don't use it. There is no blanket. You have to decide, okay, this is my level, I will live. This is my level, I will live. In this way, one can practice in whatever situation one is in, with the concept of varnashram system. And in the cooperative life, in devotional life also, there could be competition. I want to do more for Krishna, I want to do more for Krishna. But if that competition is stopping you, you know, from other person doing more for Krishna, that competition is not healthy. I remember one devotee was telling, they were, when the book started coming, Marathi, Bhagavad Gita came. This is a bad competition. And they would distribute thousands of books. Thousands of books in a day. No. The devotees were telling that Marathi book came. 3 devotees, their job was only to break the cases. And they would not count the money. The empty racks of the bus, they would throw the money there. End of the day, they were distributing 10,000 books, and the whole rack was filled with 1,700 books. And they would go back to the printer, and the other party would go back to the printer to get the books. Then suddenly, what happened? Because my party is doing more book distribution, his party is competing with cutthroat. And then one of the devotees said, good idea, let us sponsor the bus so that they can't come to the printer. That's a bad idea. This is what started happening. Like, both are doing service to Krishna, but I need that number one. That's the material concept comes. Like our medical school when they say those are really intelligent, sometimes they have really mean mind also. They say, okay, who is my competitor who can actually excel? So you go and preach to say, why are you studying? So that's Aram Corona. Convincing them to take rest. And seeing that he has gone to rest, then go back to your room and use the table lab so that nobody can sit and continue studying. Or steal their notebook. It has happened to some of our devotee students who are studying. Steal their notebook till their exam is over, they don't get to steal their notebook. So that I can get it first. This is nastiness. That comes in our devotional life also. I need to do Krishna service, but you cannot accept me. So for you not to accept me, what I will do, I'll create an obstacle for your devotions. That's the mundane concept. How will Krishna like? How will Krishna like my service of distributing 1,000 books when I stop someone from distributing 900 books and I take pleasure? My number is first in the book distribution score. Number is there first. But how can somebody not understand? How will Krishna like this? By creating trouble to others, by creating trouble to other surveys, I get the name in the book. Ask in 1956 who won the gold medal in long jump. Does anybody remember? 1986 who won the Olympic hockey gold medal? Does anybody remember? Nobody remembers. If you ask who won the 1983 World Cup cricket, maybe they'll remember. If you ask who was the whole team member, you don't remember the whole team member. Who was the manager of that? Who cares? Nobody cares. Why do you the influence of time? What people remember is the experience. That experience is always different. So therefore, we should understand the Vaishnava, the simple living principle of proper thought. And you should be able to apply in our situation. Not jump, okay. I'm living in a city proper, so go to farm and jump to the farm. And then convert farm into a city. Better you stay in the city only. So let the farm remain in farm. That is the people didn't want to live in the farm, so brought all the facilities of the city to the farm. Like the Nam we see. Prabhupada said, but Nam is meant for living for the Goswamis. Rather the Radha Govind Club. There is a swimming pool. Now the problems are coming. We may feel that you're in Singapore. Why is that? Goswami is living under the tree. You know, they are changing the tree. You live in Vrindavan, but live in such a way that you are Italian marble, you are this marble, that marble. You are not living in Braj land, you are living in some all ingredients collected from all over the world. That is not living in Vrindavan. Better live in the city and remember Vrindavan. Whole Vrindavan is polluted. To such an extent, you can't say Jamuna River as Jamuna River. That's a sad story. So therefore, one has to understand my being in the Holy Land has to enhance the feeling of Holy Land to other folks. So therefore, the best thing is to go there, start practicing the simple living in your situation. Slowly, slowly, as you are done, then maybe move to the next stage of life. That's what Prabhupada told me. You can't live in the town, one devotee should drop a land on a farm and say, I'm not saying you move into the farm. You are a city man, you do your service in the city, do according to the principle of simple living, high thinking, according to your situation. That's what is how it's practical. Guruji, what time we should start?
We can take one more question.
Okay. Any questions from
Next devotees? This point that you bring up regarding Hanuman having a concept that he is a servant and contrary to it, when we do something and their success, we find that they are controlling. So many times, even applying the concept of simplicity, when we are simple or when we do service and we apply devotional service to our lives, and when it comes into contact of our mundane mind, what comes up is we get attached to the simplicity and the service, but in the wrong notion to get something out of it, like fame, glory. So, how does one perform devotional service compared to just performing service for the sake of it?
One thing you understand, just because I'm not becoming simple, I'm not becoming better. In Krishna consciousness, there is no withdrawal. give the example, somebody maybe doing that, it was so competitive, he stops others from rendering service so that he can excel. Then you realize this is very bad. Okay, you realize this is very bad. But you don't have the chance to withdraw from the service. Okay, I'll not do the service so that I'll not be competitive. That is worse. Because bhakti in action is not competitive. You have to continue performing your service, try to change your consciousness. So one first thing is that there is no question of not doing it. We have to do it, but with a changed consciousness. Our authorities may say, okay, your contribution to Krishna consciousness, your contribution to the temple, your contribution to the community of devotee is there, but that contribution is causing so much of violence to so many number of devotees. At this point of time, you cannot do this service. Do this service, the authority may say. Then that is right. But on my own, I should know, okay, I am doing this, this is that. My tendency of competing and excelling is causing other devotees not to render service. This is very bad consciousness. So I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it. Then I will try to do it in such a way, and I'll create an extra facility for that devotee while not minimizing my service. So therefore, that is the first principle, that no withdrawal is allowed. However, whatever happens, I'm not going to withdraw from service. I'm going to perform service. I'll try to change my consciousness. And then, secondly, doing devotional service proper rights, if you read carefully in some places, should render devotional service in Krishna consciousness. Service is there, but the Krishna consciousness, I consciousness is pervaded. That has to be removed. We have to add, we have to try to add more concept of Krishna consciousness. That when there is a genuine repentance and endeavor, so whenever a sincere devotee praises our endeavor, one becomes really humble. When there is a genuine praise and genuine correction, one feels actually humble. Why? Because he is affected by that principle of Krishna consciousness. But whether it is a flattery and criticism, both kinds of false ego, you know, becomes plural. When somebody is flattered, flattery comes from the false ego and goes to another false ego. Both are not benefited. Appreciation comes from the heart, and that's the point. And correction also, the spiritual master corrects us. He is doing it from his heart. So whatever service we do under the guidance of another senior devotee. You know, he is reminding us, look, this is how you should be doing service. And again, we go back to it. Therefore, the choice of composition. Now we see, we try to implement this principle. When somebody comes from a very powerful background, achieving background, achiever, for him to adjust according to the principle of Krishna consciousness, he will achieve. But achievement doesn't actually take him along with himself all the way to it. He cannot stop being an achiever, but at the same time, that's a challenge. But the challenge is very pleasing to Krishna. The challenge is very good for our devotional service. So one has to be constantly working on it. By how? By sadhana, proper sadhana, and understand the principle of cooperation. Again, from Krishna is the story. Proper stop the entire Radhanamadhara bus party. Why? Because it created a conflict between the Brahmacharis and Sannyasi and the Brahmacharis. They were achieving so much. The Brahmacharis and Sannyasis were achieving so much. Had a large number of devotees. But at what cost? Causing so much of pain to the Brahmacharis. Causing, you know, kind of fear in the heart of devotees. That's the devotees. And there was a big controversy. That became the discussion in the GBC meeting. And Brahmacharya and Sannyasi are ruthlessly, you know, minimizing the value of rest as if that life is that house, the household life is like a garbage. But that is not Shastra. Sannyasi, I remember one devotee told a story that one grahastha, he lost his wife, he came to his guru. He said, Guru Maharaj, I want to take Sannyas. He said, why? I said, you know what, my wife, she is dead. And I did not even cry one tear. So you can see that indifference in my heart. So much renounced. And the spiritual master said, you go and get remarried. I said, what? You're asking me to be married. He said, if you cannot cry for your wife, how will you cry for everybody else? Sannyas life is crying for others out of sympathy. You cannot cry for your family member, how will you cry for others? You will be a bad sannyas. Papa stopped it. He said, stop this whole business of Nagana. Why? Because it was causing so much pain to other members of society. He created harmony, working together. So that for the whole ashram system, it is socially a sannyasi may be superior. Prabhupada writes in the book. In a formal renunciation, but he said in regards to devotional renunciation, he said there is no difference. Gahastha, brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyasi, men, women, can actually make greater advancement. It doesn't matter what is the position. So understand this concept. This is a concept of Srimad Bhagavatam. The Parishit Maharaj was a householder, he is a king. But he had the power to bring Srimad Goswami to him. Not that Srimad Goswami was thinking, I am compassionate and I need to go and please preach Parishit Maharaj. He needs me. He needs my association. Let me go and save him. He needs to be saved. Somebody thinks like that. So he was attracted to the quality of Parishit. I said, I want to share something. And he came to speak Bhagavatam to Parishit Maharaj. Everybody was attracted to Parishit Maharaj's quality. Such a great quality. And he was a great king. Attached to money making, attached to expanding his kingdom. But he was such a great devotion to the Lord. So you understand this principle that my existence is dependent on the mercy of my surrounding community. When we die, when we are about to die, as we discussed that day, we need devotees to chant for us. Now, the Kaliyuga, our support to this one organization, the RSS, they have one concept. What is that? Sangha Shakti Kaliyuga. What is the power? The power is auspicious. As many devotees are there, devotees are like binoculars. They are like binoculars. As much the glass is, you know, is longer and powerful, that much closer it is. Devotees are like that. As many devotees are there between you and Krishna, between you and Guru, that much it is seen. Sometimes you look, okay, push all these devotees, let me go straight. No, directly to my spiritual master. Very risky. Prabhupada said, even the mosquito is very close to the king or the guru. But what the mosquito is doing? Sucking the blood and giving malaria. So therefore, as many devotees are there between me and Krishna, that is spiritual world. Spiritual world is traffic jam all the time. Because the 1,000 million of devotees are there. 3/4 is the spiritual world. Only some criminals are there in this world. If you know it so much, and the spiritual abilities of people, if you are not comfortable with all those devotees and our position is what? The servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Kabbalacharya said, 7 times servant. No direct sangha of Krishna. I may be only picking up the flower, somebody else is bringing the flower. Like in Jagannath Puri, we'll stop with this one. In Jagannath Puri, one devotee had a very nice book. Somebody else is doing a PhD book, the Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's. He said there are family from generations. Their service is to carry a stick and chase the crow while the bhoga has been brought. And the next generation, the same family, will not say, "Arey, my family only did this. Now next time I want to actually carry the bhoga. Somebody give me this." No. Those who are chasing the crow, they are doing it since time and immemorial, as long as Jagannath worship started. No change. Somebody is stitching the flag, his service is to stitch the flag. Somebody is, you know, hoisting the flag, their service is that. Somebody is washing the pots, his service is to wash the pots. It's going on. And there is no problem. How can somebody say Varnashram system does not work Whenever Krishna is in the center, it works, and they never want to change. If you go to South India also, there is a family where they only, you know, play upon this Shehnai. They don't want to say, okay, I want to go inside the altar and worship Ranganath. In one place it has happened like that. In Maharashtra, unfortunately, in Pandharpur, there is a grid. Whichever pujari gives the largest amount of money to the government, he gets to worship the Lord that day. That's how they have done. Causing that, you know, greed in the heart of pujari. So what can you do? You bid, you say today I'm going to pay 50,000. Father pujari shall pay 20,000. Mother shall pay 35,000. Anyone who pays 35,000 to the government, he gets to worship the Lord that day. So what do they do? Next day, whichever devotee comes, he pats them Dakshina as much as possible. Dakshina takes. So then he has to collect that 35,000 rupees extra, he has to collect, make more money standing on the altar. So that kind of situation should never be in our